This week on the Happy Half Hour.
To pull off this thing that no one expected, you had to have hurt guys taping it back up and getting back in there. You had to have PJ Walker playing a game he's never played in his life. And all of these other things just came together in this incredible package.
Touchdown, Carolina!
It's time for the Happy Half Hour with your friends, Kristen Balboni, Augusta Stone, and Darren Gant. That's right, it's that time of the week. It's the Happy Half Hour presented by Prowling Vineyards Napa Valley. Prowling Vineyards Napa Valley is the official wine brand and wine club of the Carolina Panthers. These premium selections celebrate the great people of the Carolinas and the Panthers' hunger to achieve excellence on and off the field. Each handcrafted wine mirrors the Panthers' bold attitude, and the iconic flavors honor the two states we are proud to call home. Experience the benefits and lifestyle while giving back to the community as a portion of the proceeds support the Carolina Panthers charities. Learn more at prowlingvineyards.com. That was cool.
That was really good.
What happened to Kristen? She sounds terrible.
I know, right? I'm back.
He's back. Back again.
Guess who's back? Guess who's back? I'm like Frank Isola. You know, on PTI, yeah. Just subbing in, except I'm subbing in for Wilbon because the cranky old white guy is still in the room.
Hey, wait, you mean me.
I love it. That's
it's good
solid.
To have you back. I knew you wouldn't stay away. Actually, it was kind of cool. Kristen's on another special assignment, not like the last special assignment, but taking care of the last special assignment. So it was like, Will, help. And Will's like, yeah, I'll be there. So... it's good to have you back.
I had my pumpkin spice. I'm spiced up. I'm ready to go.
Spiced up.
So I guess I have to run this now, right? Is that how this works?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
If you sit in the chair.
I'm sitting in this chair.
If you're sitting in the captain's chair, you've got to
steer the
ship.
All right,
got to
come up with stats then if I'm running this.
Okay. I can come up with some stats. I can come up. Do you want me to like come up with them or like look them up? Because I can just like imagine.
You have about 15 minutes before we get to that part of the podcast.
We
so
got
you better
it.
Start researching.
Here I go. Yeah. Click, clack.
But I'm going to actually go to you first because the Panthers are 1-0 this week, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
1-0 according to everything. We're 1-0, and we're going for 2-0 at Atlanta, and we're doing it behind the number one center in the NFL, according to Pro Football Focus, the one and only Bradley Bozeman.
Yes, Bradley Bozeman. Gosh, just a delightful person. It's funny to talk with him and then like think about the things he does on the football field. Like it's one of those things. It's like, how is this human who is just so nice and radiates so much joy and kindness also a vicious, vicious sinner?
Well, cool. I mean that's
I love it.
That's what we finally were marrying the two of. He's always been this incredible story. He's done all the stuff to give back to the community. He and his wife Nikki have been beloved by Charlotte for all their engagement, and it's like, oh, yeah, and then he put some people on their butts on the field. That's fun when that happens together.
Exactly. He got his chance. That's what the story I got to write and that published yesterday that I'm so proud of. It was kind of about, you know, I mean, I appreciated how candid he was with me. You know, he's like, it reached a frustrating point because he had suffered that ankle injury up in New England, took about 2 weeks to get back on the field, and then sat behind Pat Elflein for 6 weeks. And, like, Pat Elflein, you know, held serve when he did. He was, and that's, you know, Bradley told him, he was like, I understood why they didn't make the change, but the day I got the call, that Tuesday before the Tampa Bay game, telling me, you know, I just came in, and he and Nikki cried on the couch. And a story from the very top of that article that Darren, when he read it, he told me, he was like, oh, this is just gold. And I was so proud that I was able to get this story and be able to tell it. But it was about a week before he got the call, he was speaking with a group of middle and high school football players, and they were, you know, just asking him questions about being a professional football player. And then one of the kids just tells him, you know, well, how come you're not starting? And he just tells him, he's like, you know, control what you can control. But like the way when Nikki told me that story, she was just, I could hear her smile over the phone, you know, and she was like, it was so cool that not even a week later, he had no idea at that point when he was talking to those kids. And then it ended up being to where, yeah, like, you know, I just control what you can control. I mean, it'll eventually come if you just stay locked in. And now we saw, like you said, number one center. It's kind of cool. It's a great story. And, you know, past all the, you know, stuff that he's doing and embedding himself in the community, he's just a great guy. And I'm thankful that Charlotte has people like the Bozemans for sure.
Speaking of people we're thankful for and controlling what you can control, and boy, is this a surprise. PJ Walker, everybody. What?
Snaps. Of course. Of course.
Snaps for PJ.
I mean, and that's the amazing thing about this season. This Carolina Panthers season has already been a Russian novel, and it's week eight. I mean, we have seen regime change. We've seen big trades. We've seen other trades. We've seen PJ Walker, of course, light up Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I mean, it's just I always joke about it with concerts. This is why you go see the show and always go see the show because you never know what's going to happen. Not one person in this room or really people in this greater room that is Bank of America Stadium expected that thing to unfold the way it did on Sunday, and especially after the Rams game when they didn't really let PJ do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But at a certain point early in that game, it was kind of like, I really think early in the week they were like, all right, if we're going to do this, you just got to do it.
Right.
And let him throw downfield, let him take some chances. And listen, I understand why Steve Wilks was a little hesitant to do that right off the bat, because this is still PJ Walker, who going into the Bucs game had 2 career touchdowns and 8 career interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 4 picks for every touchdown he threw is not the ratio you want to have in somebody who's starting against Tom Brady. So I understand why they were hesitant, but at a certain point, PJ's just cutting it loose. I mean, first play of the game goes over the top,
mm-hmm.
looking for Terrace Marshall. Terrace drops it. But other than that, he was perfect for the first half. And you're just sitting there looking. I mean, we kind of joked while we were sitting in the press box, like, let PJ cook.
Yeah.
But at a certain point, that's kind of what they did. And PJ is probably as good a metaphor for what happened to that team in general on Sunday as anything we've seen, because there was no reason to expect it. And there was no reason. I mean, but people just had this weird, unexplainable belief that PJ Walker was going to do it in the face of all evidence. And yet, he did. PJ Walker, of course.
Of course. And I think as you look forward to this Falcons game and potentially looking forward down into November, what can this staff, what can this team do to make that not just be this adrenaline for 60 minutes?
Right.
You know, this thing that just everyone was surprised, no one knew what happened, and boom, this happened. And then you got to go, and everyone's got a game plan on PJ Walker, mm-hmm. looking at all the film of those 8 interceptions, finding ways to get him uncomfortable,
sure.
putting pressure on him. What are the ways that this team counteracts that to keep this going?
I don't know.
Either one of y'all. Yeah.
I don't know is the honest answer. And, I mean, they got to be a nightmare to game plan right now, because in the past, if you were playing against the Carolina Panthers, you knew they were going to put the ball in Christian McCaffrey's hands.
Mm-hmm.
You knew they were going to look for DJ Moore as primary receiving target. You knew, based on whoever the quarterback was, that you could do X, Y, and Z. But I don't know how you prepare for this Carolina Panthers football team. I really don't. I mean, Deontay Foreman is more of a traditional kind of power back than anything they've had in place in a long time. I mean, he even runs differently than Mike Davis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's just he's more of a rhythm back, in that he's one of those guys who needs 8-10 carries at a chunk rather than one play at a time.
Right.
Like he was getting before Christian was sent to San Francisco. So it's a tough game plan, but they're built for power. It's very basic. If there's anything, you know, I think selfishly when I look at a game, what's the one thing I want it to be? Fast. And this game could be over in 2 hours and 35, 40 minutes, because mm-hmm. the Falcons want to run the ball. The Panthers, apparently, based on the evidence of 1 week, want to run the ball. So we'll see. I mean, it could be a quick one on Sunday. Make sure to tune in. Don't just try to grab the fourth quarter, because it might be over by the time you tune in.
This is a preview of future stats, but here's my early half stat. The Carolina Panthers have played the Atlanta Falcons on week 8 now for the third straight season.
Huh.
Third straight. On each of the last 2 meetings, they had their highest rushing output of the season.
Really?
So
they're on pace for it?
Yesterday or last week was the most rushing yards since at Atlanta the year before. It was the highest rushing average since against the Falcons back in 2020, also in week 8. So, I mean, we know what they're going to lean into, and in the past, it's been somewhat successful running the ball down there in Atlanta.
Right.
So, I mean, they know what's coming, and, you know, we're going to be watching the injury report this week. You know, there's some guys in the backfield, the secondary for Atlanta that may be questionable. I mean, guys, Chuba Hubbard was on the injury report for Carolina. You know, so we're going to be watching all of that this week. But, yeah, I mean, that's the hold on to the ball, don't have turnovers, and let's control the clock.
And, of course, you remember the ultimate example of that in Atlanta, Christmas Eve 2006, the Wildcat game.
Augusta wasn't ready for that one. She wasn't ready for us to kick it back to 2006.
Hey.
What were you doing in 2006, Augusta?
I was aware of what was going on, probably in second grade, but, I mean, I might have a memory or
did
two.
Did you know that D'Angelo Williams was in the slot or was in shotgun just running left and right?
I'm sure. No, I don't know.
It was D'Angelo, right?
Yes. Yeah.
I was 2006. So let's see. When I was eight, I was really into, like, I guess, like Barbie dolls. I don't really know, because that's past my Barney phase, but not yet to, like, my pop music phase. So probably, like, Disney Channel. I think I was really into Disney Channel.
So
it wasn't Hannah Montana.
Are you saying that DJ Moore is going to be motioning into shotgun
sure.
and then running left and right with pitching to Raheem Blackshear?
Yeah, why not?
Let's go.
Why not?
I mean, we joke about it, but that 06 game was born out of desperation. They mm-hmm. were out of quarterbacks who could throw the football downfield that week. Oddly enough, the one touchdown, the passing touchdown, was a one-yard pass mm-hmm. to Jeff King from Chris Winkie. But Winkie couldn't throw that week, and Jake was hurt, and they were down to Brett Bazinet, and God knows what. I mean, Brett was this undrafted rookie
yeah.
from Northwestern, great kid, still in the area, successful businessman, doing fantastic.
Sponsored by WellCare.
There you go.
That's one.
But, yeah, it was just an incredible confluence of events because they were out of quarterbacks, and John Fox just kind of decided, we can't do anything else, so we're just going to always run. Mm-hmm. So that's what they did. I don't think it's going to be that extreme. Again, you've got P.J. Walker at quarterback, so why not let that man cook? But, yeah, every time things get weird down in Atlanta. They really do.
Well, I was just thinking about, like, yesterday I asked Steve Wilkes, I was like, so with Chuba's injury, you know, the by-committee approach, will you still be doing that? Because that's pretty much it. Just think back to 2 weeks and you're sitting here and you're like, man, we're about to see Deontay Foreman and a bunch of Raheem Blackshear if Chuba's not ready to go. You know, and he could be, and that's fine. But if you're still planning on splitting the reps like that, you're going to get that rookie who had his first two carries last week back in there. And everyone's super excited about it. I love talking to Foreman in the locker room this week, and I asked him about Raheem, and he just starts smiling. He's like, oh man, Heem, I love Heem. He's so cerebral. He's always looking to ask a bunch of questions and talking to the I really like him. I'm excited for him to see an opportunity, perhaps. But even just getting his first, you know, I mean, rookie, Virginia Tech, I think he was undrafted from the Patriots, came over here and like the middle of August or September, and look at him go. It's so funny. Like, just think about like where we are right now, the unpredictability of everything, and we're sitting here, and it's like if we're taking a by-committee approach and Chuba's not 100%, that could see a lot more Raheem Blackshear, which I think is exciting because we saw his kick returns 2 weeks ago.
Exactly, about to say. I want to see him be able to return some kicks.
Right?
I mean, he can get out there. All of a sudden, you got the ball on the 45, mm-hmm. and between that and Pinheiro and Hecker, I mean, this special teams is special.
Look at you.
Look at that. Look at
that.
I
see what you did there. But, yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. When you're in this situation, all the other stuff has to go right.
Mm-hmm.
And think about what we've talked about. Again, it feels like we've been talking about a two-year campaign, a land war in Asia. And we've seen seven football games.
A land war in Asia.
And,
oh, that's the worst.
I mean, it really is. But
in winter.
But they've been playing clutch and grab on defense,
yeah.
and those guys were worn out a couple times, got scored on late. You've got the numbers behind that, and you've put them out there all season long. I mean, it's been tough in the fourth quarter, but Sunday, when just a little bit of offense worked, you saw what it looked like,
right.
and that's what yep. they're hoping for. But throughout this thing, it's been lean on the defense, lean on the special teams, and they are a lot better this year. There's no doubt about that. Johnny Hecker still looks like the all-decade punter from the 2010s. And, you know, I mean, he's still getting it done at a high level. So it's interesting to see. Eventually, we're probably going to say let Johnny cook and let him throw the ball. And there were a couple moments where it looked like he was going to do that on Sunday. And that one's mm-hmm. still in the holster, so we'll see. Stay tuned.
So I want to ask y'all about, you brought up the defense. What can we, at some point over the summer, it felt like there was almost too much depth at cornerback. And then as you can tell by the Tay Hayes. But you look at that group, and Dante kept I looked at the snap counts. I'm thinking he may have played 55%, 60%. He only missed four snaps.
Yeah.
And those were very four memorable snaps because he's actually hobbling off the field and trying to stand up. What did it take for that secondary to do what they did against Brady?
Well, it's so interesting. I talked with Tay about that. First of all, let Tay cook. I'm a Tay Hayes stan here. He's just such a nice guy. I really
like him.
App
State, baby!
I love him to death. But I talked with him yesterday, and I was looking at snap counts for an article I wrote that should be posting sometime today. Came in for three. If Dante was out for four, he told me, he was like, I'm locked into the game, obviously. We all are. He's like, but I'm watching Dante. Because I tell Dante before every game, like the last two I've been active, I'm like, okay, look, if you need one play, just tell me. I got you. One play. And he goes, and I can tell when he's like pulling at his leg and I'm getting ready and I'm like, oh, here I go. Just like aching for opportunity. Which, I mean, obviously there's the difference between Dante Jackson and Tay Hayes. I'm not sitting here saying like, oh, yes, Tay should start. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's exciting the way they all had to lock in. And talking with Keith Taylor especially, you know, he talked about how, I mean, he came in that reserve role last year too a lot. And then this year he's back in it. He's like, it's one of those things that I just expect all the time. He's like, I expect if I have to come in, I should be ready. He takes a lot of extra time watching film by himself and picking up offensive tendencies. And it's just one of those things where I think they kind of have seen the writing on the wall. I think when I wrote my article, where we really saw the injuries kind of manifesting come up was in Los Angeles when Keith Taylor played 60% of the snaps and Tay Hayes played 19, which was like his highest, or 30 since 19. The numbers get all jumbled, but lots of numbers. I'm not a number guy like Will, but it's one of those things where they're staying prepared. And there's a lot of attrition there right now. JC's back to practice, but he told me the ribs is one of those things that's hard to rehab. You know, you just got to be patient. And he's not a patient guy. He's like, you know, they're limiting me at practice. They're telling me how many snaps I can go because it's hard, you know, on the ribs. It's not one of those things you just kind of have to wait it out and be gentle. You can't just like do something extreme. So,
right.
Yeah.
And but you're right. All summer we talked about depth at cornerback. And, I mean, Tay Hayes was the sixth of five.
Right.
And that's why he was on the practice squad at the beginning of the year. Stanley Thomas Oliver gets hurt. And now everybody's taking turns being hurt for portions of the game.
C.J. Henderson was out for a bit.
C.J. was in and out of the game. Dante was in and out of the game. And Dante, it's kind of interesting to me the way people react. People react poorly to Dante coming out with an injury. But he keeps going back in. I mean, and that's the thing that's kind of impressive about the situation is a lot of guys will go down and stay down. And Dante keeps getting up. And so I don't know. I that's one of those fan reactions that always kind of confused me a little bit. What do you want a guy to do? I mean, something you've heard me say over and over, injuries are luck a lot of times. And, and so I don't understand why people get mad at him for luck. But – at the same time, he keeps getting up and keeps getting back in the game. And, you know, that's what it took. And again, I've mentioned this a number of times over the last 5 days. No one expected this. So to pull off this thing that no one expected, you had to have hurt guys taping it back up and getting back in there. You had to have P.J. Walker playing a game he's never played in his life against Tom Brady. And all of these other things just came together in this incredible package.
So we've talked a little bit about last week. We've talked a little about next week. I want to just kind of throw this out to you guys because, you know, I've kind of been out in the world amongst the Panthers fans, and they're all asking the same question. How do we get a top five pick and go to the playoffs at the same time?
They're on pace. I mean, right now, if the season ended today, the Carolina Panthers would pick third overall, which is plenty of position to draft a quarterback if that's what you please, and they are also one game out of first place in the division.
Yeah.
So get it all over you. I mean, that's where we're at. And that's why it's almost – I would think as a fan it's almost liberating because the burden of expectation, you have been freed from that yoke. I mean, it's – when you fire a coach and you're in an interim situation, it's the ultimate house money deal because anything that happens is a bonus. You know, you already know this thing went off the rails and didn't go how you expected it to. That's what happens when you change coaches in midseason. But for Steve Wilks, for P.J. Walker, and I'll throw Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold into that too because it almost feels inevitable that we're going to see each of them again
right
at a certain point this season. There is no there's no way to expect anything that's coming. So I think it's got to be a little bit freeing for a fan to not know what's coming because there's no reasonable way to expect it. And honestly, you look at the stats and you look at Falcon stats and Panther stats side by side, and these are not two great teams.
Mm-hmm.
And that part of it you can't argue with. But at the same time, one of these teams is going to have, you know, could have a share of first place in a division after Sunday's game.
And I think for me, it's a wanting to go into December, wanting to come out of that Denver game, to go into Seattle, to go into Pittsburgh, Detroit, and have it be cold, put on your sweatshirt, go to your tailgate, and have something to look forward to. Mm-hmm. To be like, today's going to be fun because if this happens and this happens and this happens, then holy cow.
Yeah.
You know, that's what this is. You know, you talk about showing up to see the thing. You want to show up to see the thing that has some import. You know, you want it to mean something. And it when it's cold and it's football weather and it's Thanksgiving and it's Christmas, you want people talking about your team too.
Right.
And I think for me, like, this idea that fans had in their head, this argument, this, oh, well, you know, here we go. We're going to lose 10 in a row and we're going to get the number, like, that, no.
Yeah.
Sorry.
All the people who advocate for tanking have never actually been in an NFL locker room.
Right.
Or met an NFL player. Because, again, for the P.J. Walkers of the world, the Bradley Bozemans of the world, the Tay Hayeses of the world, this is their opportunity to do what they've dreamed their whole life of doing. So good luck telling that guy you're supposed to lose. Good luck telling all these other cats out there on the field. Deontay Foreman's been in a spot before. He was a backup with the Titans last year and wasn't planning on playing a lot, and Derrick Henry gets hurt. And all of a sudden he becomes the guy and ran for over 500 yards second half of the season. So he's been in his position before. So it means something to all these guys. And that's why, you know, the notion of tanking, and it was kind of interesting the way Steve Wilks just kind of brushed it off casually. That's also how Steve Wilks talks. He's very direct and very to the point and very matter of fact of all this. It's like, of course we're not tanking. Nobody in that room's thinking about that. Of course we're starting P.J. Walker. Of course, you know, I mean, that's just how Steve talks. But listening to him explain to people why that is a foreign concept in that room is kind of interesting to hear because I think it reflects every individual who walks through those doors.
That was probably hard to overcome, too. If last week, I just thought about it. We have not taped since the McCaffrey trade because it happened that day.
Yep.
Which is interesting. I was thinking, I was sitting here and I was like, wait, did we know about that? No, we didn't. It hadn't happened yet. It happened about 12 hours later. Which is crazy because that would have been like 11 p.m. and I was like barely awake and looked and I was like, oh goodness, what's going on?
Yeah.
But yeah, no.
Go time.
You know, I think seeing that was one thing I loved with talking to the running backs last week or the earlier this week, whatever week we are in. It's, you know, they're sitting here and they see, you know, headlines, star players gone. It's over. The season's gone, blah, blah, blah. They're never going to run the ball again. And then they do what they're able to do. And they hear like, I mean, we love Christian, you know, don't get me wrong, they said. But like, it was like, we were proud of that, you know, because it felt like almost like we were being discounted. You lose the star player who's at our position and everyone just thinks, you know, well, they haven't done anything yet. And then they are able to do that. Like that storyline as a whole, just as a football fan, you sit back and you're like, dang, that's cool. I like seeing that. Like that's it. And that's like the not tanking mentality. That's what Foreman's good at. I liked it. Cool.
So for our longtime listeners of this Veritable podcast, they know that this week we usually do some combination of favorite all-time Halloween costume or worst Halloween candy. Ooh. We've kind of done that. We've kind of used that tray up a little bit. So I'm going to go in a different direction for you guys as we close out the podcast. For those, all of you that watched the locker room video of Steve Wilks and the team, and many of you did, and I've heard a lot of reaction to it. You may have picked up one lone voice in the corner right before he got the ball coming from Brian Burns saying, "Hey, Denzel," which leads me to asking you guys if we could pull it off, which I doubt that he would agree to or that we would. But hypothetically, which famous Denzel meme or gif would you want Steve Wilks to recreate? And I have some of them right here. I've sent some of these to Darren.
That's easy for me.
I was going to Google.
Yeah, Darren, you go first.
Yeah, I mean, the boom.
Yeah.
Training day.
Boom.
I mean, in fact, I watched Training Day on the plane out to L.A. in honor of Steve and his first game. But boom seems appropriate for what's going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of boom happening in that room.
I also like, because I think it's in both Training Day and in American Gangster, my man. I love that one.
Well, I was going to say, I Googled it, and I was like, oh, yes, I remembered this one. Because memes are one of those things, when
that
I
one,
see
the,
them.
When
yeah,
he, like,
yeah.
holds, he's
okay,
like.
Okay, yeah. So he's leaning his head back, holding his heart, and he's like, oh, thank God. It's relieved. Relieved Denzel Washington. It's one of those things, memes, when you mention them, I'm like, oh, yeah, I love memes. But I can't name them off the top of my head. I just looked up Denzel Washington meme. This one came up. I use this one in my daily life. Like,
yeah.
I need Steve Wilkes doing that. Also, I mean, come on. If you didn't feel like that after Tampa. Huh.
I mean, or just the scene from the gym with him in Remember the Titans. Football's fun.
Yeah.
Fun? Is it still fun? It's not fun anymore,
it's
is it? It's not fun? Is it not fun anymore?
That's peak Steve Wilkes.
How much fun are we going to have today?
We need
no fun, sir.
We need that.
I thought so.
We need that.
I'm a Denzel stan.
I should probably watch Remember the Titans.
Wait. What?
Wait, you've never seen it?
No, I've never seen it.
Oh, my goodness.
I haven't seen anything, and I've seen that.
But okay, we have to stop this right now and put it on. Darren.
2 hours later.
Darren, I'm gonna watch it with you. I'm going to sit you down and hold your eyes open and make you watch this movie.
We'll have movie night. You make me watch Remember the Titans. I'll make you two watch Blazing Saddles, the greatest movie ever made.
Blazing Saddles. Is that like a cowboy movie? Oh, is that me?
It is. No, it is like.
It is like
a cowboy movie. Yes. That is fair.
Happy half hour.
Yeah. Happy half hour, everybody. It's we're bridging generations. No, I'll watch it before the end of the season. We'll have movie night.
Woo-hoo.
So, in honor of Halloween, to all our fans out there, I have one word. Boom.